The text I've chosen to go with the message of the day comes from Leviticus 19. Don't worry, it's not one of the bad parts. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I love learning new things, especially things that are helpful in understanding why people, good people, can have such diametrically opposed opinions on certain issues, especially moral issues. Haven't you wondered at times, how in the world can that person think that way? Which is really translates into, why in the world can't other people believe the way I believe? Well, this morning I'm specifically referring to learning more about the study of moral psychology. It began in earnest when I read an article that appeared in Time magazine back in October of 2012. It was the height of the presidential election, and Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, wrote a commentary in the magazine entitled, "The New Culture War Over Fairness. Obama and Romney Have Different Definitions of What Is Right and Just." Well, how could this be? Isn't right right and wrong wrong? And doesn't everybody, especially people of faith, have a solid understanding of what is just and unjust, fair and unfair? Well, I was fascinated to learn that in the arena of strongly opposing opinions, there is something much deeper going on inside each of us that is guiding our own moral compass. The article mentioned that Dr. Haidt is a professor of business ethics at New York University, and it mentioned that he is the author of the 2012 book, The Righteous Mind: Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to know the answer to that dilemma. So I bought the book, yet had a somewhat difficult time getting through it at first. Psychology can be a bit dense to those of us who are not trained in this particular endeavor of study. But in the introduction to The Righteous Mind, it begins with that famous 1992 quote by Rodney King, "Can we get along?" Haidt answers, "This book is about why it's so hard for us to get along. We are indeed all stuck here for a while, so let's at least do what we can to understand why we are so easily divided into hostile groups, each one certain of its righteousness." Well, the Encyclopedia Britannica defines moral psychology as the study of the development of the moral sense, i.e., the capacity for forming judgments about what is morally right or wrong, good or bad. Well, as it turns out, there is someone right here at College Hill who I knew could help me make some sense out of moral psychology. It's kind of like having our own version of Cliff Notes among us. Church member Dr. Brad Brummel, right over here, is an assistant professor. Thanks a lot, I know. He's an assistant professor of psychology next door at the University of Tulsa. And when I mentioned Haidt's book to Brad, he said that he was already very familiar with it, and in fact had already incorporated some of it into one of his classes. And last year we visited about his leading an adult church school class. And just this morning, we finished a fascinating and remarkably helpful 4-week study of moral psychology. Brad, your instruction is already making a very, very profound difference in my own approach toward others, with those whom I agree and especially now with those with whom I disagree. And I know that there's going to be far-reaching effects of this study for the 40 folks who attended. So thank you very much. We learned that on our gut level reaction and judgment as to whether something is morally right or wrong stems more from our own deep-seated intuition than in our rational thought. They'll both play a role. So does the influential role of the communities or groups to which we belong, kind of like peer pressure. But who among us hasn't distanced ourselves from a group with which we no longer agree on any number of moral issues? Yes, there is a reason why humans tend to divide into relatively like-minded communities, and perhaps mainly to support our own opinions and perspectives. Again, this is no more evident than in the arena of politics and religion. So what's happening at a gut level that leads people to different moral judgments? Well, in sharing John Haidt's work, Brad walked us through the six moral bases, or what I call filters, that inform our moral judgments. And we'll look at this in just a moment. And depending on which is the strongest of our filters has the greatest influence on our positions. And experts believe that most of us filter things on a fairly consistent basis. And we'll get into this in just a moment as well. But first, I want you to think of a divisive moral issue. Here's a few, for example. Is it right or wrong to open carry a gun inside a church? Should our country engage in drone strikes in Iraq? Should children be taught abstinence only in sex education classes at school? Should the death penalty be allowed to continue? What should be done with the huge influx of Central American children crossing our border illegally? What moral dilemmas would you add to that list? Well, I want to add one this morning concerning one of the more controversial decisions made at our recent General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. I want to look at moral decision making as it applies to the Assembly's debate of whether or not our denomination should selectively divest our church holdings in three corporations who have been profiting from contracts with the Israeli government. These three corporations have been singled out because they have been charged with engaging in non-peaceful pursuits that further the occupation of Palestinian territories. And this goes against our previously determined policy against this as a denomination. Well, we must start by looking through the lens of why people took sides based primarily on their own filters of making moral judgments. And the experts in the field of moral psychology have determined that there are six moral bases or filters through which any moral decision is made. The first involves the issue of care. Is someone or something being harmed or being harmful? Second is the issue of liberty. Is someone or something being oppressed or being oppressive? Third, the issue of fairness. Is someone being cheated or is cheating? Fourth, the issue of loyalty. Is someone betraying the in-group and community? Fifth, the issue of authority. Is someone subverting or disregarding that authority? And sixth, the issue of sanctity or purity. Is someone degrading the system? And this ties into the level of your disgust at any given action. Care, liberty, fairness, loyalty, authority, and sanctity. We base our moral judgments through the intuitive nature of whether something is right or wrong, then, primarily through the filters of harm, oppression, cheating, betrayal, subversion, and degradation. So which of these, for the most part, is strongest for you? What has the strongest impact on your sense of what is morally right and what is not? In other words, how would you rank these six filters in their amount of influence over your moral decisions? Brad gave us a short questionnaire to help us figure that out. And there are copies of that questionnaire on the information table if you would like to take that. Let me quickly repeat them. 1, desire for compassion and the well-being and care for those being harmed. 2, desire for freedom for those being oppressed, dominated, or bullied. 3, desire for fairness and justice for those being cheated or deceived. 4, desire for loyalty, cohesive coalitions, even pride toward your group, team, or community. 5, desire for obedience, deference, and respect for those in positions of authority. And 6, the desire for temperance, chastity, or cleanliness in order to avoid contamination. And in this category, they've included such sources like racism, sexism, and all the other isms that contaminate a society. Well, each and every one of us, of course, consider all of these things almost subconsciously when gauging our moral response to any given issue. And what really gets exciting is when two or more of these moral bases seem to be in conflict with each other, making moral decisions even harder to make. Well, through much study, moral psychologists have looked at how these moral filters have particular influence over liberals and conservatives from a political perspective, which they refer to as progressivism and orthodoxy. And they have learned that when it comes to moral issues, progressives and liberals have a much stronger influence from the filters of whether someone is being harmed, oppressed, or cheated. Therefore, these considerations will have a stronger impact on whether something is right or wrong, rather than, say, whether someone is being disloyal to the group, or not falling into line with authority, including the Bible, or not aligning with determined criteria for purity within the system. Now, interestingly, they've also learned that conservatives have a more equal and balanced level of influence from each of these 6 filters or moral bases. But in the marriage equality debate, for example, conservatives primarily argue against it because it violates their sense of authority of the scripture and church tradition. And added to that is a high level of sheer disgust that leads them to the conclusion that is simply impure and unclean. Now, the divestment issue at the General Assembly, however, wasn't as easily predictable across the progressive conservative spectrum. In fact, divestment was approved only by the very narrow margin of 310 to 303. That vote indicated that there were several strong moral influences at play. The primary filter for some was that by participating on ongoing efforts of occupation by Israel, Palestinian people were being unfairly suffering harm and oppression. And the primary filter for others was concern over being disloyal to Israel, and the fear that divestment would hurt our relationship and subvert our status and authority as a denomination. So given the strong support for both of these approaches, the vote was incredibly close. It was a hard moral decision for many, because the commissioners could see the validity of both sides of the argument for or against divestment. By the way, I attended a monthly pastor's luncheon hosted by recently retired Rabbi Charles Sherman at the Temple Israel just earlier this very week. I asked for his opinion concerning the divestment issue. He generously shared with the group that Jews are just as much all over the map on this as we are as Presbyterians. That surprised me. And just also all over the map as Methodists and Episcopalians who've addressed this issue. Rabbi Sherman then graciously added that he accepts the claim that the decision of our denomination was made in good conscience and not meant to be interpreted as anti-Semitic or anti-Israel. But the reaction to that final decision to divest, which has reached international proportions, has been so strong, both pro and con, that the national leadership of the PCUSA just released an open letter yesterday to our American Jewish interfaith partners, trying to put this decision into proper perspective and interpretation. And for more insight into all of this, I have placed copies of this letter on the information table in the narthex, along with two other papers, the Frequently Asked Questions papers on both the marriage equality and the divestment decisions. And you will also find information on those six moral bases. That's a lot of information. Well, my primary goal and hope for this admittedly long sermon is that we all have a better understanding of why good and faithful people can be so divided, especially on moral issues stemming from politics and religion. So the next time you hear yourself saying, "How in the world can that person believe that?" remember that we all process things differently through a set of moral filters, bases, and perspectives. And this happens primarily at a deep, intuitive level. So ultimately, maybe it's not just so much a matter of being right or wrong, but simply a matter of being different. Perhaps then we will all be a bit gentler with others, with their moral judgments, when they don't match up with ours. And Brad, I realize that I've been teaching this morning instead of preaching, so next time you teach here, feel free to preach. Amen.